that bitch.
Hello, you guys, and welcome back to The Real Bitch of Bravo with yours truly, G. Hey, Wiley, here on this beautiful Thursday, you guys. Super excited for The Bachelor, Golden Bachelor specifically, to come back on. As most of my valid followers know, that's my new jam. I love it. Call it cheesy, call it what you will, call it your grandmother's golden, or call it your grandmother's bachelor. I don't care if that thing is fire. But that's not what we're here to discuss today. We are here to discuss Roni and a little Salt Lake City recap. Before I do the Roni recap and before I get really dive into it or anything like that, I also want to specifically say the ganging up mentality needs to go away, because you can have drama without the gang up mentality, you guys. Like, we still love you without the gang up mentality. We still love the drama without the gang up mentality. And I think it also, it's fine when it's like one or two episodes. When it gets to like every episode, I'm kind of over it. It's the same reason why I've been over Mary probably since week two, because it's the same thing over and over. And I tried to give her a little bit of time. So I was like, she's just a friend of, and I know, Mary Cosby, you don't need this show. We're going to get into that in a second, but let's get into Real Housewives of New York. Since we're specifically talking about ganging up on each other, it is ganging up on Jessel all day, every day for this show. Now, you guys know me. I am still Team Erin. I will still ride for that girl. I think she's great. I think she's great for the show. She's the potster. She's the one that causes all the drama. She is the drama. She causes it, et cetera. She brings it all up. So does Sai. But Erin has been very consistent throughout the entire season in doing that. That being said, lay off Jessel, guys. Leave her alone. Who gives a shit if her husband wants to go to Vietnam for miles? Rich people do that, dude. It is what it is. I actually kind of agree with Pavit. I'm like, if you can afford to do that and your wife gives you 3 days to be alone and go get a bon mi, go fucking get a bon me, dude. You know that people have actually paid for their whole entire vacations, honeymoons, etc., by accumulating miles. It's kind of what he's doing. Again, Erin, Lychee, I still ride for you. I still think you're great. I love you. Can't wait to meet you at BravoCon. Would love to do a quick little Instagram interview with you and Abe the Babe, but I gotta just kind of chill on the mean girl, like, coming down on Jessel. Same thing with Sai. Sai is also to blame for this one as well. I think she's losing a lot of viewership and a lot of people on the Bravo fandom verse or whatever. That's probably so hard. Like, but it's, dude, this is, Bravo fans are crazy, man. Bravo bitches be cray, man. Bravo, bitches, be cray. Speaking of cray, last week, Sai and her daughter have dessert and tea as they talk about the Anguilla trip and having her aunt over, which I thought was a really precious moment. And I know a lot of people are in agreement with me. This is not a hot take. Unfortunately, when she does have her over, or fortunately, when she does have her over, they have a really sweet moment, and it's eclipsed by Sai and her attempt at not trying to, like, you know, be a little bit softer. I know you have it in you, Sai. I think that's what's great about reality TV. It helps people to see how they're good, they're bad, and it helps them to hopefully want to change, unless your name is Mary Cosby, who doesn't really give a fuck. Then we get into Jessel and Pavit finally having their sex station. And for those that don't know what that is, I made it up. So it's their sex vacation combined together. So they're sex station. And they finally have sex. So yay, good for them. Let's not talk about their sex station anymore, or their sex anything anymore. Good for them for having sex. Sai and Jessel go out to lunch, and Sai claims that she is officially over Jessel, trying to compare her story to Sai's story. This is where Sai doesn't lose me. This is where I actually agree with Sai. It's like, everybody has a different story. Just because hers is more tragic than yours doesn't make it worse. It doesn't mean that you have to compete on this level, or you have to compare yourself on this level so you can be valid to her. I think you just need to let it go. And I know we're going to get into that in a second when Jessel and Jenna have a conversation about it as well. So we'll get to that in a second. But this week, guys, on Roni, we see Brynn quarantining herself and in the meantime facing her brother. And for those that don't know where the hell he was in Koreatown. That is for damn sure. But I'm wondering what the time was there, because we're 3 hours back than you guys. So if it's 9 p.m. there in New York, it's 6 p.m. here. So I hope it was like a Sunday fun day or something for that girl to be that hammered out in Koreatown, because it's not safe over there. So I really hope, like, she, you know, shout out to Kim Glass. She got hurt. I know she doesn't even want the pub for this, but she did unfortunately get attacked in downtown LA for brunch. And she, like, literally in the middle of the day, you guys, on a Sunday, and she, like, her attacker finally is getting 8 years in prison, I think 6 or 8 years in prison. And this was not the first time he did this, for all those that are, like, coming after me being like, oh, well, maybe he, like, you know, this is his first time and she did something to provoke him. Stop. No, he's done this multiple times. He's been in and out of jail. This is a long time coming. So congratulations, Kim, on that verdict. But again, this week on Roni, we also see Uba's photo shoot. And this is where, like, I wish that I was a model like Uba. That bitch slayed. Those looks were fire. She looked phenomenal. And we're going to talk about Uba in a second with all of her little drama that's going to come up next week. Then finally, we get to an actual scene. It's not just B-roll and, like, small little tidbits or whatever. It's Erin kicks her children out of the kitchen in order to have a grown-up conversation with Sai about her lunch with Jessel, which, by the way, is yet another reason why I love these girls. Respect, get the kids out of there. They don't need to hear your drama, your bullshit. I'm still on this train of kids do not. I don't give a fuck if you have an 18-year-old child. That's still a child. The frontal lobe has not developed, guys. Most people don't develop until 25. Some guys don't develop it until 30. For those that don't know what your frontal lobe does, it's basically you having the cognitive resonance to be like, I'm not going to jump off that cliff because I could die. So they don't even have that yet at 18. So you should not be talking to them about making lifelong decisions. This is why the Army gets them early and tries to get them to go and make those decisions. Neither here nor there. Let's move on. They finally have this talk. And at the same time, Jenna and Jessel are having their talk about Jessel and Sai's lunch as well. Obviously separately, they're not all together in the same room. And then Erin and Sai talk about Jessel and Pavik finally having sex, which, again, I'm very over this conversation. Let's move on. They had sex, good for them. And then Sai brings up Pavik going to Vietnam for the points. I'm over this too, just because it's like, dude, people travel for points. They really do. Whether it's they're accumulating those points because they're like, hey, I want to, you know, put these off to the side so I can use them for a business trip or for pleasure or for a family vacation at the end of the year, or maybe however often you go on family vacations. Maybe you want to use it for Christmas and you guys are going to go back, you know, to your parents' place or something. I don't know. Like, I don't know what the fuck you use your fucking points for. And I don't care. I don't care. I don't care if he goes to Vietnam to go get a banh mi. No offense. That dude's weird as hell. Pavik definitely is not a normal guy where he's not going to be sitting there and being like, let me get my jollies from a boy girl or whatever. Like, I don't see him doing that. I see him being like just a weird accountant kind of like bro and just not, just all he wants to do is go get a sandwich and he's going to come back home. I don't see him doing like, he's giggling at Jessel being in lingerie. Do you think he's gonna get his jollies off of like going to Vietnam and getting somebody to do those special things to him? And that's the reason why he's there. Whatever. I could be wrong, but it just doesn't seem like that's his jam. And I'd love to ask him about that. I'd love for him to answer that question and be like, hey, boy girls don't get me off, and my wife does. Or yeah, though. I could see why people want to be with that person or something. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Moving on. Let's just move on. Abe comes up into the conversation as well. And Sai lets him know about the Vietnam for points trip kind of thing. And Abe again says what every guy is thinking. This is why I can appreciate Abe, because most of my friends are guys, I guess. And basically, guys, Abe's just saying what every dude is thinking. Some guys are smart enough to not say that, a.k.a. Sai's husband is smart enough not to say that, but he's thinking it. Trust me, he's thinking it. And he basically says, 3 or 4 nights without your wife and kids and you get the points, that sounds like a good deal to me. Like, again, I don't see that this isn't something that isn't normal. But then we get to Jenna and Jessel's conversation over a snack and some gossip about her lunch with Jessel or her lunch with Sai. Jenna basically says, and this is so poignant and I love it. Jenna says in her confessional, oh, she was invited to go to Scotland for like a brand ambassador thing or whatever. Good for her. But let's move on. And she's also right. Scots are really hard to understand, like very hard. And like I did an Irish dude and like I could understand him, but I couldn't understand a Scottish guy. Long story short, it's very hard to understand them. Like it's probably hard for you to understand me right now. Then Jenna says that she's going to miss couples night at Swingers, specifically because obviously she's going to Scotland. And then we finally get to the Sai conversation with Jessel. Jessel admits to Jenna that her and Papa got it on. Then the lunch topic comes up and Jessel basically lies about how late, like, why are you lying about how late you are? Like the second that she finds out that it's really 40 minutes and you have footage, here's the other thing too, ladies, the truth always comes out. So they have a clock on you, Jessel. Just don't lie. Please don't lie. Like that. I think that's another pet peeve I have. It's like, if you're on camera, you might as well just be transparent because it's going to come up. And you were 40 minutes late, technically 41, but semantics. You're 40 minutes late. That's rude. You're trying to compare yourself to her again when you said we don't have to compare each other to one another. And you do it all over again. It's like, and again, this is when Jenna brings up the best point ever. And I don't want to get it wrong, so I'm going to quote it. She says that Jessel needs to feel heard. And oftentimes people want from people who won't give, and the person that won't give you what you want is the person that you go after the most. And she could not be righter on this. Jessel, you just need to let it go and like actually let it go. Like you keep bringing it up, and granted, Sai keeps bringing it up as well, which is really freaking annoying. Like I'm done with the conversation, but don't lie and don't bring up like, omitting the truth is almost like lying also, by the way. So you also omitted the truth that Pavit was supposed to leave that, like, I think either that week or the week after you guys had your sextation. So don't lie about it. Just be like, you know what? He needs, like, when the trip comes up, that's when he's going. And they'll understand. They'll probably get off your back more if you actually said that to them instead of saying, you know, yeah, he's leaving next week to go to Vietnam for like 24 hours, which is not even 24 hours. I think it's a 3 to 4 day trip. Anyways, we move on from that conversation and then it goes into commercial break. But then after the commercial break, it goes to Uba doing a collab with a vegan restaurant in the city called Beatnik. I'm all about them promoting themselves. Good for you. This really wasn't like this major point of contention for me. I'm happy for Uba. I think them being able to step outside of something that they actually do for a living and then like maybe do something else is amazing. So good for you, Uba. Happy for you. Moving on. Not really something to talk about, just something to mention. Then we get to Sai and her auntie, Sophia, making rice with one another. And I don't want to botch up the name of the rice dish that they make, so I'm just going to say rice. And we get to see more of a personal side with Sai as she gives her auntie a belated Christmas gift of her mother's art. And her aunt starts crying, which understandably so. I mean, her mom is no longer with them, and that's her sister. So, I mean, if I lost my mom, I think I would take a major break from this podcast, you guys, to be honest with you. It would be on social media. I would like let you know, like, I'm taking a hot break if that were to happen. Thank God my mom, knock on wood, is as healthy as a horse or healthier than a horse. So I'm very grateful that my mom's still with us or with me. So I can't even imagine, you know, what she's going through as your sister, you know, has passed on, and this is a memento for that. And that's a great side that we got to see of Sai. And I think it like kind of sucks that we don't see a little bit more because it would make her way more relatable and way more lovable. I mean, I'm sure Sai doesn't really give a fuck, but you know, some of those people care about like Bravo people think about them or like what Bravo fans think about them. And Bravo fans are mean, man. Like don't be mean sometimes when it comes to, you know, people and their, thoughts about you. So it's crazy. Jenna and Becca go eyeglass shopping, adorbs, moving on. Everyone except for Bryn and Jenna meet up at Swingers for obvious reasons. Bryn still has COVID and Jenna is in Scotland where you can't understand anybody. And then David and Sai show up first. Shocker. Sai eats ahead of time so she doesn't starve at Aaron's event, which I'm all for that. I think after this, like, Aaron just needs to be like, we good, man. Like, don't order any more food for her. Like, you don't need to overcompensate for Sai. It's your event. Do you order what food you think you need to order and then move on? Like, I don't know. I don't know. Anyways, speaking of moving on, we move on to Sai, who asks who's coming. And then Aaron lets her know that it's everyone but Bryn and Jenna, and that Pavit and Jessel are coming, and if it's going to be awkward for her. Sai basically says, I don't give a fuck anymore. Like, I'm over this. I'm done. I'm moving on. I just don't care anymore. And she's like, I'll be cordial. Like, I'll be nice, but I'm not going to go out of my way, you know, moving forward in life. So then David then brings up that Jessel and Pavit had their sextation to Abe and to everybody, basically. And Abe asks if this is confirmed. And the women say that, according to Jessel, this did happen. So this is where you lose me, you guys. The guys, unless you have your own side drama like they do in Jersey, where like these guys are bros and they've actually known each other for years, they grew up with one another, they've like known each other, you know, since the inception or even before the inception of the franchise, and you had beef before that and you continuously have beef and it's interpersonal, organic beef with one another. So I feel like I'm like trying to sell you guys something to eat, but I'm not. Like, if you have organic issues with one another, that is the only thing that you should be bitching and complaining about. Their drama, their little side job, like the women's drama is the women's drama. Get the fuck away. Do not be involved. Move away from the subject. I don't care about what you guys think about it. I don't. Now, if you're going to stand up for your woman, that's fine. I get that. But other than that, no. Move on. This is not your drama. This is not your hurt. This is not your pain. This is not any of that stuff. And we see this later on in the episode, at the very, very end of this episode, when Pavit inserts himself in the women's conversation. We'll get there. Then the interrogation begins as Pavit and Jessel get to the table. This is where I start to feel bad for Jessel and Pavit, like, where I'm just like, dude, how much more of this are you guys going to do to them? Like, it's just, it's so much. And again, this is where I think that Sai is losing the Bravo fan base audience with her off-puttingness, or aka bitchiness, like where she's just like, whatever. They're like, very like RBF, like resting bitch face. They bring up Vietnam on both ends. The guys like kind of interrogate him and all that stuff goes down or whatever. And there's a huge argument and conversation, whatever, that goes on between Jessel and Sai. And then Sai leaves the table, goes to the boys, and then says, like, who are you fucking? If my man went to Vietnam, that's what I would ask. I just, like, this drama, like, I'm over it. I'm good. I'm over it. I'm done. I want to move on to Uba finally making it. And she kind of lightens the mood a little bit. and she asks the men how they knew that their wife was the one. And Pavit actually kind of struggles for the answer. Whereas all the other guys, like, they know. They know, like, this is my woman. I know that, like, I can't get away with the shit that Pavit gets away with. So, like, you know, I'm going to come up with a good answer. Also, some of them have been married for a while. I mean, I guess all of them have been married for a while, right? So I don't know why Pavit struggled, but he did for a little bit. And he says, life is an adventure. You don't want to live a boring life. And I just want to travel, eat, and have fun and do whatever. And she's the perfect partner for that. And then the woman interpreted that to mean that she just lets you do whatever the fuck you want, which, in his defense, that's not what he said. Literally, I just read you what he said, and none of that is in there, where he says, she lets me do what I want, so that's why I married her. Like, it's not in there. It's like, I'll read it again if you guys really want me to, or rewind this, and you can hear me again say the exact same, like, this is a verbatim quote from him. So I know he doesn't remember it the next day, because he said he was like six scotches in, but this is what he said, and it had nothing to do with him doing his own thing and her letting him do whatever the fuck he wants. So Moving on from that, Bryn and Jessel go to Bryn and Jenna, go to Jessel's après ski. So basically, they bypass all the drama that happened the night before, and they get all the juicy, details after, and skip all the drama and shit that happened at the event at Swingers. Anyways, Bryn invites the girls to her birthday party and says that the theme is creative black tie, aka wear what you want, just get weird, along with the Venetian, also known as masks, like she wants them to wear masks or whatever. This is a weird ass theme, and it's kind of confusing for me. So like, you're wearing black tie, you're wearing mask. Like, is this some like, not Cruel Intentions, what's the Tom Cruise movie? It'll come to me with like Nicole Kidman, whatever. It like Eyes Wide Shut. Is this like an Eyes Wide Shut, kind of theme? Then you should have said that. This theme doesn't make sense to me, but whatever. They all rock it. They all get their masks and their costumes and whatever, and they, they figure it out, as we see later on, with their parrot outfit. Then Jessel brings up Swingers. Pavitt calls. Then Pavitt comes in the middle of the conversation. This is what I brought up earlier, that Pavitt basically calls Psy bipolar. I am very glad that all the ladies basically put a kibosh on this and were like, she's not bipolar, dude. But she does say one thing and then mean the other, and she just acts differently or whatever. So, but that doesn't mean that she's bipolar. That's a huge accusation. And like, I think that they kind of, they were like, you need to retract that, because he was going to get a lot of shit about that. And I think deservedly so, dude. You can't just call somebody bipolar, like, bad form, buddy. Then, so glad they brought the hammer down on that. Then the timeline of Vietnam is skewed because Jessel put a timeline on it. And like, I think that this is where she gets fucked, is that she doesn't like, she says things that she thinks probably are true, but then they aren't. And then like, then she gets in major trouble and is told that she's lying. Or I think that she's just not, I don't know. I don't think that you're thinking that all that clearly. Had you not done that, Jessel, in, I think we would have a totally different conversation. If you just didn't put a timeline on everything, like, or specifically on the Vietnam thing, we wouldn't have an issue. There would be no time. There'd be no, the conversation would be different for sure. Bryn then brings up from Aaron that Uba's question to the husbands, and Aaron brought up the fact that Pavitt wasn't wearing his ring, and they explain that as well in the scene why he doesn't wear his ring. For those that didn't watch the show, I'll just explain it really quick. He lost it like year two into their marriage, and they just never replaced it. That's the reason why he doesn't wear a ring, and they just haven't gotten another one yet. So, but he's obviously still there. They're obviously still married. Like, they haven't gotten a divorce. He ain't going anywhere. They have children together. So, I mean, I think just because you don't wear the ring, also you're asking the wrong person, because I don't believe in marriage, and I've been with my boyfriend for over a decade. So like, for me, I don't think that the ring signifies anything. I think the fact that he is financially supportive, and he, has children with this woman, and he comes home every single night to her, I think that signifies the fact that he's with this woman. So that being said, I think y'all need to get over this freaking jewelry issue. But then again, I don't want to get married. So I think that's just the difference. I love when Bryn says this. She says, how people treat you is a direct reflection of what you have given them permission to do. And she's absolutely right. She basically says, if you had told Psy to fuck off and leave your relationship out of this, and don't talk about your relationship or leave your husband's name out of her mouth, she probably would have been like, okay, you want to get a drink? Let's roll. And would have dropped everything. But because you've given her permission to yell at you, to berate you, to belittle you, to like be like, whatever, dude, I don't care, da, 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 fuck off, fuck off, fuck off, she, like, this isn't going to be the end of it. And like, Psy's rage is still going to continue on with you. So you really, truly just got to, like, I'm waiting for this Jessel, like, this activated Jessel to come out, because it doesn't seem like it's coming out anytime soon. That being said, maybe it will. Maybe we'll see a new Jessel next week on The Real Housewives of New York. And speaking of that, guys, season finale is next week for The Real Housewives of New York. Destin LaPavitt have the parrot conversation about Sai and Aaron, that basically Aaron is Sai's parrot. She's over her shoulder talking to her all the time, or whatever parrots do. And then this information gets to Aaron, needs to say she ain't happy. Then Uba brings up that she's happy the way that she is and that she's single and in a good place, while Sai's husband, David, kept interrogating her and being like, what the fuck? Like, why are you, you know, why are you still single? He like kept interrogating her, and she's just like, I don't like those vibes, man. Like, lay off. I'm happy the way I am. That being said, Uba actually, in the middle of that swingers dinner, talked to Sai about not really being single and keeping a secret about her current relationship, and that she just didn't want to bring it to the forefront because I don't think that she was just ready to have this relationship out there willy-nilly, kind of like how Jenna didn't want to introduce anybody to her or even talk about her significant other or any of her significant others. I mean, like, she just dropped a bomb with this whole I am now engaged thing. So I think, that being said, like, if it's that brand new, which I think it was at the time that they were filming, she deserves it. Like that. And also, if that person, same thing with Jenna, if that person doesn't want to be in the limelight, in the spotlight, they don't film. That person wasn't filming. Uba's guy is not filming. He's not, you know, he's not in that industry, and he doesn't want to like probably be in that industry. He wants to be private. Same thing probably with Jenna's significant other. We don't see them in, you know, any episodes. So I think that like, if you choose, if your significant other chooses, or the person you're dating or whoever chooses to not be involved in your shit, then they have the right to their privacy. Now, Aine, David, Pavitt, no, you don't. You chose to be in the limelight. You chose to go on camera. You chose to be out there in front of all the lights and all of the lights. You, no offense, your right to privacy, out the window. So that's with anything, anybody that wants to be a public figure, myself included. Like, this is why I'm so transparent with you guys. I'm like, I don't care. Ask me anything too. Also, by the way, ask me anything in the comment section, in the in my DMs, in any of my posts, any of my stories. DM me at all. I am on social media at, and I'll say this at the end of this episode as well, but it's at the_real_bitch_of_bravo. That being said, you guys, that is the Roni recap. Stay tuned. I will be back. I'm going to take a really quick break because I am thirsty as hell and I don't want to keep drinking water on camera. So with that, I will be right back with the recap of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City on The Real Bitch of Bravo with yours truly, Jihae Wiley. Hey guys, welcome back to The Real Bitch of Bravo. That break was presented by Sandbar66. Follow them on Instagram at Sandbar66_, I believe, is their at on Instagram. My at on Instagram is the_real_bitch_of_bravo. That's also us on Threads as well. Hopefully we'll have some guests coming for you guys, and all of the things on at BravoCon once we get there in only a few weeks, guys. BravoCon is only going to be here in, God, it's going to be crazy. It's like less, it's like 3 weeks away. It's not even 3 weeks away, guys. It's like two weeks away, maybe. But I'm super excited. I am going. I'm trying to get a press pass, but to be honest with you, I don't think it's going to happen because Universal isn't getting back to me. But I will still be like just on the beat, I guess is what you would say. And hopefully we can meet some Bravo celebrities, because I am not going physically into BravoCon, but I'm going to the outer rankings of it. I will definitely be talking to all the fans, definitely talking to as many Bravo celebrities as we can, stop them if we can. It'd be a lot of fun. I would love it if Kelly Dodd actually went to BravoCon, but it's obviously not going to happen. I also don't think that Shannon Bedore is going to happen unless she's contractually obligated to go. I know she's doing inpatient shit, but it's voluntary, so she could technically go to BravoCon. I don't think it's the best idea since it's in Vegas. But that being said, would love to have see Shannon out there thriving and being sober at the same time. So this would be a really good thing for her to just be sober and maybe stay home a little bit. She's not like Vicky. She doesn't have FOMO. So I think she'll be okay. Speaking of being okay, Salt Lake City is always okay. They're always bringing it, you guys. They're amazing. Last week on Salt Lake City, Jack tells Lisa that he's going to serve this mission, and she has told basically the entire group except for Heather, which totally makes sense because they are not friends. So I get the reason why she wouldn't tell him or tell him, tell her. Heather brings it up at her Vita tequila event, and Lisa basically tells Heather to back off and that this is not the time or the place. We'll talk about it later. And so Heather does back off. Then Monica finally tells Angie after some prompting from Whitney about the rumors. By the way, I saw a really funny meme. I totally agree with this meme, but it basically said, I just want more rumors to come around so we can just keep saying in a Meredith voice, the rumors. Obviously we don't want to keep going with the rumors, but like, yeah, it's just funny just to say that word. Monica finally tells Angie about the rumors that Meredith and everyone else in Salt Lake City is talking about her husband and their relationship. This obviously makes Angie get up and confront Meredith, and Meredith, shocker, walks away, not taking responsibility. And here's the thing. I will give Meredith the benefit of the doubt that she says she did not start the rumors. She just heard them and reiterated them to other people. So, but again, that's just as bad. Mayor, like, you know, can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. Like, if somebody is like saying, hey, like, I heard this, da da da, and you want to be like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to be a part of that drama. I don't want to be like, because I've done that. I'm like, and if it's like a real personal friend, I'm like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know about it. I don't want you to tell me. I want nothing to do with that. But if it's like somebody I don't know, absolutely, like, sure, I'll hear it, whatever. I'm like, I have no skin in the game. That being said, she's not taking responsibility for any part that she's taking in these rumors about Angie and Sean. Meredith then leaves. Her leaving just shows her character. It shows that instead of confronting the situation and putting it to bed, this kind of gives Angie a little bit of ammunition to just keep going after her. And she does. Throughout that event, she keeps hammering it down and keeps talking to her and keeps hammering this issue with her. To like keep this storyline going. And it's like, dude, you could squash all of this real quickly. But she doesn't. So here we are. And by the way, whatever happened to your family, your business, and your relationship being off limits? I thought that this was a thing. Maybe it's only a rule for Meredith. Maybe it's only a rule for Meredith. Everybody else, Lisa Barlow, we can talk shit about her business. We should talk shit about Heather and her business and her book. We should talk shit about, you know, everybody else and not, but anybody but Meredith. Like, it makes no sense. Like, if you're going to keep the rule for you, keep the rule for everybody, sweetheart. Like, just, you can't sit there and tell Jen Shaw she can't talk about Brooks and all this stuff on social media, but then you are on national television, not even on social media, you're on national TV talking about, like, you want to go there with your husband? I have some shit on your husband. It's like, you're just fueling the fire. It's not making it better. Like, what you did and what Jen Shaw did are not the equivalent, but it's definitely not, you're not better than her in that regard, in just that one instance, right? So, gotta keep it for everybody. Keep the rules for everybody, guys. And by the way, Meredith, I hate when people say, like, you'll talk to me with respect. Respect is earned. It's not given. And if Angie doesn't feel like she respects you, then why is she going to talk to you with respect? I'm not saying that you don't deserve respect. I'm just saying that some people don't respect you and vice versa. You don't respect other people, so you're going to talk to them in a certain way. Just saying, don't sit there and throw stones and think that like everybody should respect you, because not everybody does. Specifically, I'm assuming Angie. I'm sure Angie doesn't respect you, obviously. Anyways, we for other reasons as well that I will not bring up. Then we get to the never-ending saga with Meredith's friend, Mary Cosby. And hopefully I can just bring this up once and then just dump it, because I'm so sick of talking about her. And just, I don't know why you give her, why she is getting so much attention and so much light. She didn't save shit. Like, her talking on Watch What Happens Live about like why she came back and like that she saved the show. Please, girl, stop. The show was doing great without you. I was very okay with you not being there, little girl. I did not need you there. And I think a lot of people are finally getting on my train of not liking Mary Cosby. Thank God. She's just an all-around bitch. She's just not a nice person. And I will say this to the grave. Like, I've been around church people my whole life. And not all of them are nice. And not all of them have your best interest at heart. And I think that her pocketbook is more of her best interest than the latter. She's not about building other people up and building women up. All she does is tear people down, is tear women down specifically. Heather, not matching. Who gives a shit? Who cares about a fucking outfit? Do you, like, and I think she's a little like, and also who can, like, Gucci makes sizes for all, sweetheart. You can actually go and get them tailored. Like, you can't be that daft, but maybe she is. She did seem a little glassy-eyed on Watch What Happens Live, and that is kind of concerning because my brother suffers from schizophrenia, and, like, he has that glassy-eyed kind of look, and I have other friends that their family members have schizophrenia, and they have that glassy-eyed look that I've seen, and it's when they're in their head and voices are talking, and I, like, no offense, but she looked really doped up when she was on Watch What Happens Live. She looked like she wasn't really all there. She wasn't really connecting and hearing what Andy was having to say to her. Some of you might be saying, like, this is just who she is. I don't think that's a behavior that we need to condone and be like, yay, like, let's just let it slide. Because then all of a sudden she's going to come out and do something crazy. I don't know. She looked really hopped up too. She looked a little on the high side. With pills or what have you. So I know that's a hot take and I know that that's like a huge accusation, but I'm just speaking from experience. People want to believe me, believe me. If you don't want to believe me, don't believe me. But I think that that's just my personal like experience with it and seeing that in actual real life, seeing a person that I've known and loved for, you know, since they were a baby all the way until their adulthood and they're 10 different people. So, you know, just keep it in mind. I'd love to use this for a reference if it actually did happen where she like does end up being nuts, but I'm hoping for the better for her and not the worse. But you know, sometimes I really love being right and other times I don't really love being right. This is the occasion where I'm like 50-50 on that one. That being said, let's move on to the rest of this episode when we get when Lisa Barlow says, on my children, stop. I thought we were done with like swearing on your kids' lives and like swearing on your kids that like you didn't hear anything or that like certain things didn't happen or just stop. No more on the kids. I thought that this was over. Lisa Barlow just said, like, I swear on my kids, like I never heard those rumors about Angie. Salt Lake is so much smaller than LA. So I can only imagine that you heard those rumors. You just are trying to play dumb. And I love Monica, by the way. Like, I'm still riding for this girl because, like, she is real. She is, like, in her confessionals, blasting all you bitches and being like, you all heard the rumors. You're just not going out there and saying the rumor, which is fine. But at least say that you've heard it. Heather even said, yeah, I've heard it. Like, I've heard the rumor. Of course. Sure. Like, doesn't mean it's true. It's just a rumor. Right. So you could have taken the offense on that and been like, might not be true. It might just be, you know, it might just be a rumor like majority of rumors are. So in that, I think that like that's another check for Angie as well to like let Heather join your club, sweetie, because be a little bit more open to Heather because that girl, like she still would be honest as well. She was honest about it. Just doesn't mean that, you know, he is one. He's a freaking hairdresser. Of course, he's going to get accused of being gay. Like, it's no more swearing on the kids though, guys. No more swearing on the kids. Then we get to Angie the next day letting Sean know about rumors that Meredith spat to her, and then this poor man who's just like, the only thing that he cared about was and he should, this is the only thing you should care about, is the infidelity and how it was going to affect his child. And this is where you should not be bringing any of this stuff up unless you have like solid evidence. Like you better have an email from like a lover saying like, he sucked my dick at the roundup or something like that. Like you better have like concrete evidence that this person is legit gay and having an affair on you, or just the affair in general or whatever, right? So no more rumors, ladies. Like, let's squash the rumor mill anymore. Kind of over it. And if this shoe were on the other foot with Meredith, which it has been, she like would be going off on you, and like she would not be as calm as Angie's being right now. And I think Angie was actually being a little on the calmer side, because Greek women, they can get all up in your ish. Monica then gets her kids ready in the next scene. And this is legit the most relatable I've ever seen a housewife ever be, because this is like across the board what moms do, what they're supposed to do, or what they're like said to, what it is said that they should do. Her going in on with a robe and like legit no makeup, nothing. Honey, again, I told you guys earlier, I ride for Monica. I will keep riding for Monica, man. Like, this girl is amazing. Amazing that she's doing this as a single parent. Amazing that she's trying so hard. I'm sure she gets a little alimony. I hope she does get a little bit of some compensation from her ex. But yeah, I mean, and I get it. Here's the thing. I get it. You cheated. But the kids should not be collateral damage for you cheating. Like, that shouldn't be his leverage and be like, well, you cheated, so you get nothing. It's like, but your kids should get something. The other stuff, yeah, like maybe the alimony and stuff like that shouldn't exist because cheated for years. But for the kids, I hope you get something for your children from him, along with yourself as well, right? Because I was in a situation where like my mom got nothing. I'm talking nothing. I'm not talking like no child support, no alimony, like nothing. Like, she got like negative nothing. She had to beg my dad to take time out of his schedule to be with us. Like, that's how much of nothing that, you know, that he had, that she got. So I hope you get more. Then we get to talking about her resenting her mother and not having stability. And that stability is a huge thing for her kids, and that she's just trying to do better. Made me a little sad. It made everybody a little sad. And then that she wants to be, that the only thing that she can count on with her mom is that she can't count on her mom, which again, so sad, because like, that's the one person you should be counting on. That's the one person that should 100% always be there for you. And guys, I'm not going to front. I'm in my 40s and I still rely on my mother. Like, I don't know what I would do without her. Like, I would definitely be devastated. When my mom goes into that big blue sky, sees Jesus. And we'll get to that part too, because that kind of irked me as well, growing up in a God-fearing home and that agenda being pushed on me. Anyways, last but not least, in this scene, I thought it was hilarious and cute and funny, wrong, all at the same time, that her kids were saying boner on a consistent basis. And you got to laugh with me on this one, because like, obviously, like, they're kids, man. Like, they don't think it's a bad word. They probably don't even know what it is, right? Like, the teenagers are the only ones that are just like, gotta stop saying boner. Like, just, but like, I love when kids say bad words. And it's like, you can't stop laughing, even though they shouldn't be saying it, but you can't stop laughing, because that was me in the scene. I just kept laughing. I thought it was fucking hilarious. Then we get to Lisa and Jack going to the nail salon to get their nails done. He talks about, so this is another thing, the only thing that I want to bring up from this, because I think these moments are sweet and they're great, but at the same time, they're kind of like fillers for me. I'm glad you have a relationship with your kid like that. That's awesome. That's great. The same thing happens with Meredith and Brooks going snowshoeing. I'm like, I just don't, like, this is just your time to promote yourself. And it's just fluff for me. But Jack does bring up, or Lisa brings up, the Book of Mormon, and if he's read it or whatever. And he says, yeah, I've read it. I think in hope that he was joking about them turning it into a movie. / because they turned it into a play and it was a movie. So I'm like really hoping this is a joke. But I can't tell if he's joking or not. So can somebody let me know if he's joking, by the way? Maybe I'll put this in my feed and just literally ask this question. I really don't know. I really do want to know, is he joking? Because I just, is he? Is the joke? Is this not? Like, is this one of those things where like, it's like, you know, when people say, like, they film other kids and they ask them what the capital of, you know, California is or whatever, and they like don't know. And but they're like, I was born and raised in Cali and I went to UCLA, and they're like college educated, but they don't know. I'm like, is that a goof? Is it like him being real? I just want to know. I just want to know if it's real. Jack, at me. I want to know if it's real. Were you joking? Because I really want to believe that you were joking. Anyways, we move on to Angie, who has Lisa Barlow and Whitney over. Angie talks about the Meredith talk at the Vita event. And no offense to Lisa. Actually, fuck it. I don't care. Lisa, you got to stop talking about yourself and inserting yourself in the fucking conversation. There's a time and a place. And that was not the time or the place. Whitney was totally right. She was cognizant of it. And she just shut up. And she was just like, we're here to support Angie. We're here to like make Angie feel better. You know, why are you insert? Read the room, honey. Read the room. This is not the time or the place. Yes, your feelings are totally valid. But again, time and place. Like, push that shit off to the side and be happy for her. Y'all ain't friends. And you knew that from the get-go. And on top of it, Angie has known Heather way longer than you. Way longer than you. So for them to have friction and them to have, like, you know, drama and tension or whatever, and them just finally squash it, that's great, because they've had probably 20 years of needing to squash this. You've had like 4 years with Heather. Like, stop. Like, you can't compare the relationship. This is very much like Jessel. Like, you can't compare it. And it doesn't make it worse. It doesn't make it better or worse. It just different. Let it go. Just let it go. Then we get into the Meredith talks. Meredith actually talks about what happened to her after the Vita event, her getting into a car accident and almost dying. And then Meredith and Brooks go snowshoeing. Again, filler for me. Congratulations on the GLAAD committee thing, Meredith. But other than this, I don't care. I don't want to sound insensitive about you almost dying. I mean, they kind of made a funny little clip. I don't know. Like, she's just, I can't take her seriously. And it's just, I can't. I want to so bad, because I'm sure that she was like really traumatized about this. Like, snow's no joke. And especially if you're on like that kind of corner that she's on, or that turnaround that she's on, like on a hill especially, that's no joke. And I'm not diminishing what she went through, but I mean, I don't know. I just, again, filler scene, whatever, moving on. Sorry that you had all that trauma. I don't want to be insensitive to that, because that does really suck. And I've been in multiple like accidents with snow, not on a cliff, but with snow. And it's, I could only imagine like how scared you were. Then we get to my favorite, Monica going to the senior center with her Nana and her mother. Man, her mother loves the drama, dude. It's like crazy to me. But they stop at McDonald's, which is my favorite, even though I know you're not supposed to eat it. It's not that great for you. 14 ingredients in the fries, by the way, guys. Don't eat the fries. But I still love me some McDonald's. Man, they're so good. Then we get to them finally getting inside to the center. Nana obviously like lights up, plays with her people. And then Monica and her mom go off to the side to grab some coffee and talk. Her mother tells Monica about her date. This I could not do with my mom. I'm like so grateful that my mom did not start dating once my dad died. Like, I don't think I can handle it. I legit wouldn't be able to. I can't handle it now. My mom's 75. I could not imagine my mom going on a date right now. Like, there's just, just can't. She says her date was age appropriate, only a couple years younger than her, and invites her to spend the weekend with her, and then allegedly ghosts her. Monica automatically is like, what'd you do? Because the guy doesn't just ghost you at like your age. So she's like, you must have done something. Then Monica finds out that she told him, even though she's not Mormon anymore, she is still celibate and does not believe in sex before marriage. Here's my thing. I get it. I get the premise and the foundation of the church. I think that that's awesome. The church, on the other hand, is the corrupt part. The foundation of the church, I get why she would want to keep those, you know, morals, rules, whatever. Monica's also right. I think she, there's a whole entire thing of like making her feel better and like be like, well, I'm not a bad person because I do this, and like, I'm still celibate and I still, you know, read the Bible and blah, blah, whatever, you know, like I still do all these things that like the church wants you to do. So I'm still a good person. So I'm still worthy or whatever. But I guess at the end of the day, it's like, I don't know, like this has to be what's right for Monica and not what's right for just her mother. And I get pushed a lot like Monica. And it's like, it's very, with my mom, it's not conflicting. My mom is very like, she practices what she preaches. So I can't bitch and I can't complain and I can't sit there and be like, well, you're a hypocrite, because she's not. Monica, on the other hand, absolutely can. And that's why it's so hard probably for her to accept this advice from her mother, which I totally get, Mom. I absolutely get. So then Monica gets into this whole thing with that of none of them are a part of the church anymore. And her mother still keeps the teachings of the church. And Monica hits the nail on the head when she explains why, because it makes you feel as though you're a better person, which I just explained. Then her mom asks Monica if she still considers herself Mormon. Monica responds by saying that she genuinely struggles with it, which I get that, because when you're taught that from such a young age, it's very instilled in you. So I get it, Mon. It's a struggle for me too. Like I think you can still be, you can still have the foundation, but you don't need the church. I still believe in Jesus, still believe in the Bible, still believe in like the teachings of it, and then give that to your kids. But you don't need the actual physical church. I think the only thing that would be good is that the kids can like go and be involved in groups and stuff like that. But like you said, you still got knocked up at 19 years old and and you were in the church. So I have lots of friends that did the same thing. They got knocked up as well, but were like teenagers and they were still in the church. And it's like, well, is that supposed to keep you away from it? So that being said, we move forward. Her mom asks if she wants to raise the girls Mormon or in the church. And she believes that her girls need Jesus. Oh, Lord. And as her mother continues this kind of a lecture to her about it, all Monica finally stops her and brings up the hypocrisy of it all. She also brings up the fact that her mom told her that she's sorry that she raised her in the Mormon church, like the second that she like left the church, and then her mom conveniently forgets that she never said that to her. I'm like, dude, that's something that sticks with you when you're really, really young. That would like totally stick with me if I was in my 20s and my mom like came up and was like, please forgive me for like making you go to this church. Like, I'd be like, whoa, that's something I don't think I would ever forget. And obviously Monica hasn't forgotten that either. Then boundaries get brought up. And her mother basically says, I'm your mother. That's a foreign thing, by the way. So I get it, Monica. Man, I'm just relating to her more and more. I think that her life is just so fascinating to me because I think I just relate to it a lot. But then we kind of, so it says like she's her mother, so there's a hierarchy, like boundaries shouldn't be a thing, da, 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 whatever. Monica is really letting us in and brings up the fact that her mother just enters her home willy-nilly, no knocking, no boundaries. Like she just enters the home. Her mom differs and says, I don't do that. And she's like, I could be having sex 69 on the couch and you would just walk in and see it and we'd never be the same again. I used to have this with my mom. And as long as you like consistently are like, Mom, look, can you just call me ahead of time? Like, I think they also have to be open to receive that kind of information. And if your mom's not ready to receive that information, she's not going to, it's not going to matter what the fuck you say. Unfortunately, my mom was very understanding about it. I think it also helps that I have a boyfriend in the house. So like if there's a man in the house and it's his home, they're very old school like that, which is fucking weird. Like, I think that like just having kids and you yourself be like, can you please just knock or can you please just call me and be like, hey, I'm coming in. Like my mom is always welcome in my home. I could care less if she's here. No, she could be here now. She could be like behind me in my bed, but it would be nice to be like, hey Mom, like, are you coming over? How long are you going to be here? 2 weeks, a month? Awesome. You're coming in today? Great. Like I could care less how long my mom stays here. I just want to know, like, don't walk into the room while my boyfriend and I are fucking. Like, you know, those are the boundaries. Other than that, like, I think boundaries are good, especially these limited ones. These are limited boundaries, by the way. But then it gets better. The drama just gets better because they yell at each other. Then it's like crazy. It's awesome. Monica asks her mom to stop saying nasty things on the phone about her and brings up a time where they were arguing and her mom thought that she was off the phone, that the call dropped or whatever, but the call hadn't dropped. And then she goes off and I quote, this is from the mom. You fucking piece of shit. I hate your fucking guts. You fucking bitch. I fucking can't stand you. I was like, damn, my mom has never said stuff like that to me. And she never would. Like, oh my gosh. Like, I think they need to go to therapy, to be honest with you. If they have all these issues and they're airing them out, like, damn, this is stuff that, like, A, I would never air out to people. I mean, B, my mom would my mom never does this stuff. My mom would never talk to me like this. I can't believe her mom talks to her like this. Poor Monica. Can you imagine if your mother was pulling F-bombs and saying, I fucking hate you? I wouldn't be as normal as she is, dude. Like, oh my gosh. I'm like, so I feel for this chick, man. It was cute though that her nana basically interrupted this and ended the conversation. Her mother does apologize, but I feel like it's like too little too late because the wound's already there. So hopefully this is something that they work on. Hopefully this is something that they figure out. If y'all want to get therapy, I think that's a great idea. I know it's not really a thing. Go to a path. I don't know. Like, y'all need to talk to a third party about this because it's gnarly. We get to the last scene, guys, and this is going to be all she wrote after I promo everything. So if you stayed this far, I love you and I thank you. Last scene, guys. Heather and Whitney go skiing / snowboarding. Whitney goes snowboarding. Heather goes skiing. The two take a break from the boarding and the skiing and talk about the Vita party, specifically talk about the Mormon church and Heather talking about Jake entering into his mission. Whitney and Heather talk about Lisa's son going to his mission, Heather being the last one to know about him going on a mission. Whitney says that it seems like a sore spot for her and Heather. As she puts some, and dude, Heather with the snow, man, just stop. You got to stop with the snow, Heather. But she puts the dirty snow into her mouth and then asks Whitney if this bothers her that Jake is going on a mission. She's like, no, like, why would it bother me? Heather brings up a good point. She basically goes off on how can you talk about the church ruining your life? And you wrote a letter to leave the church, but that doesn't bother you. Here's the thing. Jack's not in that conversation. The church is what bothers her, not Jack going on a mission. So, and I think if Jack were her kid, this would be a different scenario. I want to know, why does this bother Heather so much? Maybe she just has FOMO and she just feels left out. I don't think that you should be worried about somebody that's not your kid. I would think that Lisa would be a lot more worried about this and be like, how is this going to affect my son and all that other stuff? So like in our relationship and whatever, that would make more sense for Lisa to be more freaked out, still be supportive or whatever, but still be a little freaked out versus Heather. And like if Heather's kids wanted to join a mission and stuff like that would be more cause for concern and that would be understandable. I think that Whitney is of the mindset of like, that ain't my child. Like, at least to deal with it, you know, like that's not my kid. So the church, she's already said this, the church she has issues with, same thing with Heather. They both have issues with the church. Jack's not the church. Move on, move forward. Last but not least, and after that, Whitney brings up that Lisa was hurt because Angie came over to Heather's house. And I think that she's not getting that kind of that kind of treatment from Heather, and she feels like she's doing this and she's only been in the crew for a year. And again, I'm saying this again, I'll keep repeating myself till I'm blue in the face or until they prove me wrong of something else. Heather and Angie have known each other forever, since high school. Lisa and Heather have maybe known each other since college, maybe. And you talk shit the whole entire time about Heather. So why does she want to be your friend? Like, you said that she was like a good time gal and stuff like that. So why do you care? Why do you care that she's going to be with, maybe you think that she's going to take Angie away from you. Ha ha. She's going to take you away. Yeah. So, I mean, maybe that's the case. Hopefully they figure this out. I think this is kind of ridiculous that she's feeling a little on the FOMO side and hurt. I don't know. Lisa is just not doing it for me this season. I don't know what it is. I just can't feel sorry for her. I can't feel bad for her when she kind of just puts this on herself. But that's this week's episode, you guys. Next week on The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Super looking forward to all of this episode, specifically the end of what the trailer brought. And I'll get to it in a second. But Lisa and Angie, first of all, Lisa and Angie go to a candle shop and talk about how Monica is not her friend. And this is really Lisa saying this to Monica, not Monica reiterating it and thinking that, Lisa saying this and not Angie saying that Monica's not a friend. And I think Lisa's just trying to like keep Angie to herself. It's very apparent that Lisa wants to be like, this is my friend. I can control this person. Like, this is my friend. Whitney and Justin go on a date and discuss their relationship, specifically him not wearing his wedding ring and placing it in the drawer and how that makes her feel. And this is probably the first time that they really, truly sit down and it's just them talking about their relationship and that they need to fix it and that they're having their quote unquote marital woes. So I'm here for it. I hope that they do well. And then, sorry, looking at Instagram and it's, nope, never mind. Angie hosts a Greek Easter lunch and Lisa and Heather get into their different experiences in Mormonism. And they finally talk about, Jack and like what's going on probably over there. We'll get into that next week. Last but not least, we get to Angie and Monica, get into whether or not Monica is a good friend to Angie. And I have to agree at least with what was in the trailer or what we saw in the trailer, that a good friend is honest and tells their friend to their face the shit that everyone else is going to keep a secret and talk shit behind their back. Monica's actually telling you to your face, these are the things that I'm hearing. These are the things that are happening. These are the things, you know, like I'm trying to be a good friend and tell you everything and be honest with you and not talk shit about you behind your back. I'd rather say it to your face. Then Monica's mom, messy as fuck, but I'm here for it. Monica's mom gets involved and basically tells her to shut up. And she's just, what does she say? Anyway, she gets involved and she basically is just like, stop, like, stop it, stop it. She's like, stop it. You tell her to stop it. I'm trying to be the good friend here. I'm trying to like, tell her, like, you don't even know the situation. And we have an entirely different bag of chips and entirely different drama going down. But again, guys, I'm so here for it. I am here for the Monica drama, dude. I am so grateful. This is the best casting that they've done in a while. If they had to replace Jen with anybody, I am so glad they replaced Jen with Monica. Keep her on. Keep her snowflake. Keep her there. Monica, I love you. If you ever want to be on The Real Bitch of Bravo and bitch with me about your life, your mom, your anything, let's freaking sit down, have some champagne and freaking roll, dude. I will ride for you, baby. Like, I think that Monica is the jam in this show. She is a great newbie. Super happy to have her on The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. That being said, you guys, thank you so much if you made it this far, listening, hearing me talk and spew and bitch and complain about both these franchises. Stay tuned. I do have another episode coming in mañana on Friday about obviously my favorite, The Golden Bachelor, a little Southern charm in there as well. And obviously the last episode of The Real Housewives of Orange County for their reunion. So stay tuned for all of that on Friday. Don't forget to follow, smash that like button, blah, 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 all that other crap. And follow us everywhere you get your podcasts. This is on Spotify. We're on Google, Apple, etc. All of the platforms for your podcast. Also, do not forget to follow us on social media. We're on Instagram and on Threads and on Facebook. The @ handle is the_real_bitch_of_bravo, all lowercase. Also, don't forget to follow Sandbar66, @Sandbar66. I will be upstairs the whole weekend, but it's going to be amazing. It's going to be wonderful. It's supposed to be beautiful this weekend too. It's getting to that time of the year too, fall and the falling back in the time and it being like the earlier it being, the darker it gets. So like 5 o'clock, pretty soon at 5, it's going to be like pitch black. I hate that time of the year, but I do like the fact that we are going to be getting all of the Bravo dude. We're getting fucking Beverly Hills is coming back, you guys. Can't be more excited for that. I'm like, drop the mic on all the rest of the franchises. Beverly Hills is coming back, yo. I'm like, that's my Christmas right there, other than March Madness. But that's my Christmas. So for all those that don't know what this is the Duke Blue Devils, my fat, chunky butt. So that's why I'm wearing this, because I'm a huge Duke fan. Anyways, you guys, thank you again so much for listening, watching, however you're looking at this podcast or hearing this podcast, watching this podcast, whatever. And again, don't forget to follow, like, subscribe, all that freaking shit. This is The Real Bitch of Bravo. Yours truly, G. Hay Wiley. And I'm out. Love you guys. Thank you so much for watching. Bitch better have my money.